The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga, A Summary Study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Dedication. To the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nana Shastra Vikaranaika Nipino Sadharma Samstapako, Loki nam hitakarino tribhuvanen manyo sharanyakaro. Radha Krishna padara vinda bhajanan nandina mataliko. Vande rupa sanatana ruguigo shijivago palako. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Shijiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Preface. The Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was written in Sanskrit by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He was the chief of the six Goswamis, who were the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he first met Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada was engaged as a minister in the Mohammedan government of Bengal. He and his brother Sanatan were then named Dabar Khas and Shakar Malik, respectively, and they held responsible posts as ministers of Navapasen Shah. At that time, 500 years ago, the Hindu society was very rigid, and if a member of the Brahmana caste accepted the service of a Mohammedan ruler, he was at once rejected from Brahmana society. That was the position of the two brothers, Dabar Khas and Shakar Malik. They belonged to the highly situated Saraswata Brahmana community, but they were ostracized due to their acceptance of ministerial posts in the government of Asen Shah. It is the grace of Lord Chaitanya that he accepted these two exalted personalities as his disciples and raised them to the position of Goswamis, the highest position in Brahminical culture. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya accepted Haridas Thakur as his disciple. Although Haridas happened to be born of a Mohammedan family, and Lord Chaitanya later on made him the Acharya of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya's principle is universal. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna and is engaged in the service of the Lord is accepted as being in a higher position than a person born in the family of a Brahmana. That is the original principle accepted by all Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The principle of Lord Chaitanya's movement in educating and elevating everyone to the exalted post of Goswami is taught in the Nectar of Devotion. Lord Chaitanya met the two brothers, Dabir Khas and Shakar Malik, in a village known as Ramakeli in the district of Malda, and after that meeting, the brothers decided to retire from government service and join Lord Chaitanya. Dabir Khas, who was later to become Rupa Goswami, retired from his post and collected all the money he had accumulated during his service. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that his accumulated savings in gold coins equaled millions of dollars and filled a large boat. He divided the money in a very exemplary manner, which should be followed by devotees in particular and by humanity in general. 50% of his accumulated wealth was distributed to the Krishna-conscious persons, namely the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. 25% was distributed to relatives, and 25% was kept against emergency expenditures and personal difficulties. But later on, when Shakar Malik was also proposed to retire, the Nawab was very much agitated and put him in jail. But Shakar Malik, who was later to become Srila Sanatan Goswami, took advantage of his brother's personal money, which had been deposited with a village banker, and escaped from the prison of Hussein Shah. In this way, both brothers joined Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami first met Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, Allahabad, India, and in the Dashwamedha bathing ghat of that holy city, the Lord instructed him continuously for 10 days. The Lord particularly instructed Rupa Goswami in the science of Krishna consciousness. These teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Rupa Goswami are narrated in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Later, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada elaborated on the teachings of the Lord with profound knowledge of revealed scriptures and authoritative reference from various Vedic literatures. Srila Srinivas Acharya describes in his prayers to the six Goswamis that they were all highly learned scholars, not only in Sanskrit but also in foreign languages such as Persian and Arabic. They very scrutinizingly studied all the Vedic scriptures in order to establish the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the authorized principles of Vedic knowledge. The present Krishna consciousness movement is also based on the authority of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. We are therefore known generally as Rupanugas, or followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. It is only for our guidance that Srila Rupa Goswami prepared his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is now presented in the form of the Nectar of Devotion. Persons engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement may take advantage of this great literature to be very solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti means devotional service. Every service has some attractive feature which drives the servitor progressively on and on. Every one of us within this world is perpetually engaged in some sort of service, and the impetus for such service is the pleasure we derive from it. Driven by affection for his wife and children, a family man works day and night. A philanthropist works in the same way for love of the greater family and a nationalist for the cause of his country and countrymen. That force that drives the philanthropist, the householder, and the nationalist is called rasa, or a kind of mellow relationship, whose taste is very sweet. Bhakti rasa is a mellow different from the ordinary rasa enjoyed by mundane workers. Mundane workers labor very hard day and night in order to relish a certain kind of rasa, which is understood as sense gratification. The relish or taste of the mundane rasa does not long endure, and therefore mundane workers are always apt to change their position of employment. A businessman is not satisfied by working the whole week, therefore he wanting a change for the weekend, he goes to a place where he tries to forget his business activities. Then, after the weekend is spent in forgetfulness, he again changes his position and resumes his actual business activities. Material engagement means accepting a particular status for some time and then changing it. This position of changing back and forth is technically known as bhoga tyaga, which means a position of alternating sense enjoyment and renunciation. A living entity cannot remain steady either in sense enjoyment or in renunciation. Change is going on perpetually, and we cannot be happy in either state because of our eternal constitutional position. Sense gratification does not long endure, and it is therefore called chapala shuka, or flickering happiness. For example, an ordinary family man who works very hard day and night and is successful in giving comforts to the members of his family thereby relishes a kind of mellow, but his whole advancement in material happiness immediately terminates along with his body as soon as his life is over. Death is therefore taken as the representative of God for the atheistic class of men. The devotee realizes the presence of God by devotional service, whereas the atheist realizes the presence of God in the shape of death. At death, everything is finished and one has to begin a new chapter of life in a new situation, perhaps higher or lower than the last one. In any field of activity, political, national, social, or international, the result of our actions will be finished at the end of life, that is sure. Bhakti Ras, however, the mellow relished in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, does not finish with the end of life. It continues perpetual and is therefore called Amrita, that which does not die, but exists eternally. This is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. The Bhagavad Gita says that a little advancement in Bhakti Ras can save the devotee from the greatest danger, that of missing the opportunity for human life. The rasas derived from our feelings in social life and family life or in the greater family of altruism, philanthropy, nationalism, socialism, communism, etc., do not guarantee that one's next life will be a human being. We prepare our next life by our spiritual activities in the present life. A living entity is offered a particular type of body as a result of his action in the present body. These activities are taken into account by a superior authority known as Daiva, or the authority of God. This Daiva is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the prime cause of everything, and in Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that a man takes his next body by Daiva Nitrena, which means by the supervision of the authority of the Supreme. In an ordinary sense, Daiva is explained as destiny. Daiva supervision gives us a body selected from 8,400,000 forms. The choice does not depend on our selection, but is awarded to us according to our destiny. If our present body is engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then it is guaranteed that we will at least have a human body in our next life. A human being engaged in Krishna consciousness, even if unable to complete the course of bhakti yoga, takes birth in the higher divisions of human society so that he can automatically further his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, all bona fide activities in Krishna consciousness are amrita, or permanent. This is the subject matter of the nectar of devotion. This eternal engagement in bhakti ras can be understood by a serious student upon studying the nectar of devotion. Adoption of bhakti ras, or Krishna consciousness, will immediately bring one to an auspicious life free from anxieties and will bless one with transcendental existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. Bhakti ras itself is sufficient to produce a feeling of liberation because it attracts the attention of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Generally, neophyte devotees are anxious to see Krishna, or God, but God cannot be seen or known by our present material blunt senses. The process of devotional service, as is recommended in the Nectar of Devotion, will gradually elevate one from the material condition of life to the spiritual status, wherein the devotee becomes purified of all designations. The senses can then become uncontaminated, being constantly in touch with bhakti ras. When the purified senses are employed in the service of the Lord, one becomes situated in bhakti ras life, and any action performed for the satisfaction of Krishna in this transcendental bhakti ras stage of life can be relished perpetually. When one is thus engaged in devotional service, all varieties of mellows or rasas turn into eternity. In the beginning, one is trained to according to the principles of regulations under the guidance of the acharya or spiritual master, and gradually when one is elevated, devotional service becomes automatic and is characterized by spontaneous eagerness to serve Krishna. There are 12 kinds of rasas, as will be explained in this book, and by renovating our relationship with Krishna in 5 primary rasas, we can live eternally in full bliss and knowledge. The basic principle of the living condition is that we have a general propensity to love someone. No one can live without loving someone else. This propensity is present in every living being. Even an animal like a tiger has this loving propensity, at least in the dormant stage, and it is certainly present in the human beings. The missing point, however, is where to repose our love so that everyone can become happy. At the present moment, the human society teaches one to love his country or family or his personal self, but there is no information where to repose a loving propensity so that everyone can become happy. That missing point is Krishna, and the nectar of devotion teaches us how to stimulate our original love for Krishna and how to be situated in that position where we can enjoy our blissful life. In the primary stage, a child loves his parents, then his brothers and sisters, and as he daily grows up, he begins to love his society, family, community, nation, country, or even the whole of human society. But the loving propensity is not satisfied even by loving all human society. That loving propensity remains imperfectly fulfilled until we know who is the Supreme Beloved. Our love can be fully satisfied only when it is reposed in Krishna. This theme is the sum and substance of the Nectar of Devotion, which teaches us how to love Krishna in 5 different transcendental mellows. Our loving propensity expands just as the vibration of light or air expands, but we do not know where it ends. The Nectar Devotion teaches us the science of loving every one of the living entities perfectly by the easy method of loving Krishna. We have failed to create peace and harmony in human society, even by such great attempts as the United Nations, because we do not know the right method. The method is very simple, but one has to understand it with a cool head. The Nectar of Devotion teaches all men how to perform the simple and natural method of loving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we learn how to love Krishna, then it is very easy to immediately and simultaneously love every living being. It is like pouring water in the root of a tree or supplying food to one's stomach. The method of pouring water on the root of a tree or supplying foodstuffs to the stomach is universally scientific and practical, and as every one of us has experienced. Everyone knows that when we eat something, or in other words, when we put foodstuffs in the stomach, the energy created by such action is immediately distributed throughout the entirety of even the largest tree. It is not possible to water the tree part by part, nor is it possible to feed the different parts of the body separately. The Nectar of Devotion will teach us how to turn the one switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere. One who does not know this method is missing the point of life. As far as material necessities are concerned, the human society at the present moment is very much advanced in living comfortably, but still we're not happy because we're missing the point. The material comforts of life alone are not sufficient to make us happy. The vivid example is America, the richest nation of the world, having all facilities for material comfort, is producing a class of men completely confused and frustrated in life. I am appealing herewith to such confused men to learn the art of devotional service as directed in the Nectar of Devotion, and I am sure that the fire of material existence burning within their hearts will be immediately extinguished. The root cause of our dissatisfaction is that our dormant loving propensity has not been fulfilled despite our great advancement in the materialistic way of life. The Nectar of Devotion will give us practical hints how we can live in this material world perfectly engaged in devotional service and thus fulfill all our desires in this life and the next. The Nectar of Devotion is not presented to condemn any way of materialistic life, but the attempt is to give information to religionists, philosophers, and people in general how to love Krishna. If one may live without material discomfiture, but at the same time, he should learn the art of loving Krishna. At the present moment, we're inventing so many ways to utilize our propensity to love, but factually, we're missing the real point, Krishna. We're watering all the parts of the tree, but missing the tree's root. We're trying to keep our body fit by all means, but we're neglecting to supply foodstuffs to the stomach. Missing Krishna means missing oneself also. Real self-realization and realization of Krishna goes together simultaneously. For example, seeing oneself in the morning means seeing the sunrise also. Without seeing the sunshine, no one can see himself. Similarly, unless one has realized Krishna, there is no question of self-realization. The Nectar of Devotion is specifically presented for persons who are now engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement. I beg to offer my sincere thanks to all my friends and disciples who are helping me to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement in the Western countries, and I beg to acknowledge with thanks the contribution made by my beloved disciple Sriman Jayananda Brahmachari. My thanks are due as well to the directors of ISKCON Press, who have taken so much care in publishing this great literature. Hare Krishna. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, 13th of April, 1970, ISKCON Headquarters, 3764 Watsaka Avenue, Los Angeles, California.